It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always on a Monday night during the Big Brother season, I'm here with you with the live feed correspondence to break down what's going on in the Big Brother house, even when there's not a lot really going on, as is the case right now. And with me, as always, as I mentioned, the LFC. First is a man who is so excited that he got verified on famousbirthdays.com that he is dressed up and now is, he's feeling the swag. He's feeling like he's a bit of a boss, so he's showing it with his clothing. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
Boom. Rock star. No, it was going to be like some kind of Big Meech impersonation or something. I don't know. And then... I don't know. I was going to say something else here. I put the live and live feed correspondent, Jordan. How about that?
There you go. I like that. We were in the pre-show. Taryn and I were, little inside baseball in these YouTube live shows. Before the show starts, we can talk to each other and see each other, but you guys can't see us. And so Taryn and I were in here and we were having a conversation and Alex just said, "Hey, do you guys want me to dress up like Big Meech?" And we were like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" So there you go. So Alex,
like,
is,
we were in charge of it. Like we would come up with that idea.
I mean, it was like, do you think this is going to be a solid gimmick, or is this going to fall flat? I'm one of those people. I need someone to police me, because otherwise I run crazy with some of my ideas.
No, I think this is a good idea, Alex, because the people who are listening to this in the audio archives will be intrigued enough to come to YouTube to see if they agree, if they think that you pulled off the Big Meech costume. So if you do want to, yes. So if you do want to check that out, robiswebsite.com/YT. Second on the panel tonight is a man who is, I don't know what he's excited for. Maybe it's, is Star Wars Rogue One is the film. I don't know what it is, but he's dressed up like Darth Sidious tonight. He's also got a hood on. It's Brent Walgamont, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
Yes, Jordan. This is Darth Brent, and things are going to get worse before they get better.
I don't know why. I'm just wearing a hood. Just because I wanted to wear a hood. I'm back to big old gay Brent. I'm cool. How y'all doing? What's going on? It's been such a fun week in the Big Brother house. So many moves being made. So many cool things happening. Just kidding. It's been a complete bore, and I haven't been watching shit of feeds. But go ahead. Well, let's go on with the show. On with the show.
Let's go, Brent. Let's go.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. And last but not least, you heard him woo there. He's very excited for the American Ninja Warrior finale, which is tonight. Taryn is so excited that he dressed up as well, in only how Taryn can, in his normal clothes. It's Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. Woo! Let's go.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, the first one was a little pathetic. Like, woo.
I can only be so down with the Corey lingo. So, Corey, Corey, he's kind of like a mixture of like Dan Giesling and a woo girl, right? Like, Dan Giesling says, "Let's go." Corey says, "Woo! Let's go."
Yeah, I guess. So that's not a good combination. So good thing that definitely not. I was going to say Alex had it down how you first did that woo. It was kind of like, it sounded like an owl, but like an injured owl, woo, like trying to like celebrate. And you're just like, "Hoo hoo hoot hoot."
Oh, hold on. Right. I want to know on a scale of Michelle to Big Meech, how good is Alex's get up here?
Big Meech!
I say Big Meech.
Oh my god, yes. I'm living for this outfit.
If you're going with the premise, which is, my premise, that Big Meech is the drunk gangsta alter ego of Michelle, then I think you can follow the line of logic and, come down the road with me here.
Also, too, Alex, can you just hold up that that jewelry you have for the folks at home? I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. This is something no white person should ever put on, in all honesty. This is a ridiculous thing for me to own. I had to dig it up out of the dregs of my, like, middle school stuff. And, like,
Tupac!
From the darkest depths of my closet. But, yeah, had to have some bling on, Jordan. You can't, no, can't complete the ensemble without it.
Got nothing but California love for you wearing that, Alex. So, well done. Yeah. Let's set things up for you guys watching us live on this, not a Google Hangout, on this YouTube live show. And for those of you listening in the audio archives, if this is your first time listening to the Happy Hour, welcome. Take a seat. We're friendly. We don't bite. We're here to talk about Big Brother 18 in terms of what's been going down on the live feed. So if you do not want to know what's going on in the feeds, which is pretty much nothing at this point, but yeah, there's still like a few spoilers. So if you don't want to know who wins the veto, who's going home this week, any of that kind of stuff, then maybe come back after Tuesday night. But honestly, I mean, I've said this so many times this season. Honestly, who cares at this point? I mean, there really isn't a lot going on. So just stick around. We're going to have some fun. We don't have a ton of stuff to talk about, but we are taking your questions. So you can get those in. You can tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag RaHappyHour, and we will answer those as the show goes on. But yeah, let's just jump into what we've got so far, guys. So basically, for those of you who listened to RHAP last night, Taryn was on with my boy, Donnie Thompson, and they talked about what was going down. Basically, the gist of it was Nicole won the veto. She did not use the veto, and Victor was going home. The eviction is tonight. The taping is tonight. It's going to air tomorrow night, and the feeds went off at about noon today. Taryn has – nothing really changed, right? Victor knows he's going home?
Yeah, he knows he's going home. He's as accepting of it as I guess you can be, and that's really about it. Paul has made some attempt to partner up with James for the coming eviction at Final Four. But who knows if James is really buying into that. He's telling Paul what he wants to hear, but we know from his diary rooms that James is pretty attached to Nicole and Corey, so that might be something to look for in the Final Four, but, I mean, who knows?
All right, so there you go. That's pretty much that's what's happening in the house. Brent, Alex, nothing really else happened this week on the feeds, right? We pretty much have seen it all on the show. Nothing of note. We can just continue on with the questions.
I mean, I gotta take this shit off. I think what's a bigger deal is what we didn't see on the feeds. You know, when we knew that Victor and Paul were going to be nominated, I thought we were going to get, it was going to be like team good feeds. Like we were going to get great stuff. It was going to be them with pots and pans. And I wanted that. I wanted Paul to be right up like all night with Nicole in the pot. You know, that's what I was living for. Instead, we really got none of that. And I was sort of bummed about that. And they took it a lot better than I think they would have otherwise. And I want to talk about, do we think that Corey's nomination speech had anything to do with that? Because as much as I dislike Corey, and I'm not on the Corey fanboy train that apparently everyone else was on last night, but his nomination speech was pretty good. And at least it attempted, in my view, to, you know, neuter any animosity that might be brewing within them during the nomination ceremony. What do you guys think?
Well, first off, what was Victor's reaction to this, Alex? Did he blow up, or did Paul blow up at all immediately after those nominations? Because I agree with Brent. I do think that Corey did a good job. He was apologetic. He explained, hey, it's a game move. This is best for my game. I can't risk Nicole's life in the game, so this is why I have to do this. So did Victor, because I did see from some Twitter updates that Victor was upset, but I didn't really see anything of him exploding. And yeah, based on what Brent said, Did he do anything?
Well, for starters, I don't know if I agree with Corey's premise that mama didn't raise no bitch. But moving on, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I didn't like that one, but yes, I agree.
Paul and Victor kind of blew up to each other. Like, you know, they tried to say stuff to Nicole and Corey, but it's like, what are you going to say? You know, I mean, they hold all the cards. You guys, what's done is done. And really, the bulk of the venting was done, the two of them together, you know, kind of mostly downstairs while Nicole and Corey are upstairs. Just said, boned again. Here we are again. This is always our position. This is what happens to us, and kind of lamenting their luck throughout the game.
All right. So there we go. That just ended. Alex, it ended very abruptly. Did something happen there? Did your connection
die? I know, right? I thought you were going to continue talking. I was
It was like you were in the middle of a sentence and it just, you died.
I thought maybe it was my connection or something.
No, we were waiting. We were just on the edge of our seats waiting for you to finish that. But okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
I will answer this question.
Thank you, Brent.
Victor did give me more of what I wanted from a good feed standpoint than Paul did. Paul went up there and he was like, Victor sort of knows, he's probably going home, this wasn't great. Victor went up there and was like, I'm pissed. I wouldn't have done this to you guys. You realize that whichever one of us stays is just going to team up with James anyway, and we're now coming after you anyway. So you didn't gain anything by separating us, except now you've just replaced me with James, or Paul with James. And we're still going to be a twosome, because Corey kept coming back to the fact that he didn't want Nicole to have to face a twosome by herself in the Final Four HOH challenge. So I liked that fire in Victor. And after, look, again, as Alex says, they hold all the cards this week. I don't see any point in mincing words. Victor went after them in a way I wish he would have done more of, just to let them know what effing snakes they are, because I'm pissed about it. Do I think it was a good move? Yes. Do I love the move from a TV standpoint? No, I hate it because I'm rooting for Victor and Paul, as I think we all were. At least I surmise that. So I would have liked to have seen more of that, but I just wish that Corey and Nicole had gotten more of the medicine that I think that they richly deserved, because I think that it would have made me feel better.
Fair enough.
Right?
Everything to make Brent feel better,
yes,
right?
I think
that's just what we need on this earth. So, Taryn, answer me this. Where is James' head at right now? Because I know Corey and Nicole, they roped him in and they said, okay, come with us. We'll protect you. We'll go to Final Three together. We'll be great. Now, Brent just brought up this point where he said that, when Victor were upset, they said, whoever you replace us with, we're just going to be a twosome with James. Does James look at Paul as somebody he's kind of in a twosome with here going into the Final Four? Or do you think James is a guy who is just dead set on going to Final Three with Corey and Nicole?
I think if you asked what my opinion is, because I don't think we know definitively, my opinion is that James sees himself still in the middle. I think that he sees himself as being able to go either way and then be safe either way, and that's good enough for him. And if he doesn't have to make a decision at Final Four, great. If he does, I'm not sure what he'd do. I think that he definitely has a lot of loyalty to Nicole and Corey. I think that he genuinely feels that he has some sort of in with them. But when faced with the decision, will he really cut Paul over somebody like Nicole? I don't think so. I think ultimately he has to see they are a couple. They will take each other. Paul may take me. And that might be enough for him to turn his back there. But again, I don't think he's necessarily with Paul at the moment. And if he doesn't have to make that decision, I think he will try to avoid making it.
Alex, what's the scenario in which James goes home next week? Because it seems like, just based on what Taryn laid out, it seems like James could kind of just go to sleep, do nothing, throw the comps, and still get away with it. Brent, you seem to disagree.
Well, you asked Alex. I know Alex knows how James can go home. Tell him, Alex.
What were you going to say?
Oh, well, obviously, if Paul wins HOH, then James is in severe danger, because if Corey or Nicole win the veto, they're going to evict James and take each other. James is out the door in fourth place. It takes a very unique circumstance. But remember, there's only three people. The competition is probably taking place right now. James, Paul, and Nicole, in that it's most likely the before or after HOH competition. And if Paul wins that, which he's totally capable of doing, then James is really in the crosshairs as far as the veto goes. And Corey and Nicole are aware of that.
In terms of the studying, Alex, who do you think is going to do the best? If it is a before and after competition, personally, I mean, I don't watch nearly enough feats to know the answer to this. I would just assume that James would not really study for something like this. So I would probably give the edge to Nicole or Paul. Is that correct?
Safe assumption, Jordan, especially Nicole. Nicole actually cares to study about this stuff.
So we think Nicole is probably the clubhouse. She's the Vegas betting odds. She's the leader, at least, in terms of potentially winning this competition.
She has to be, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
She has to be, but I don't think that it's a given that she's going to win it. I mean, it's before and after. It's, you know, it's either or coin flips on some of these when you're guessing, you don't know which one. Anything can happen. I think that Paul could definitely win it, but that's obviously my bias showing.
Taryn, you wanted to jump in there?
Well, I was just going to say, like, I'm not even sure that Paul knows that this competition is definitely going to be what it is at Final Four. I don't think he knows the game well enough. So I don't know if he's been really studying specifically for this specific competition like Nicole might be.
Really? Because, I mean, when I was watching him on the feeds, I think it was yesterday, they were talking about the order of things and when things were going to happen. Paul correctly predicted everything that was going to happen. He was like, okay, if the veto ceremony's today, that means we're probably going to have an eviction, a surprise eviction tomorrow, and then the HOH competition right after, and then the Final Four veto the day after. And he was, I mean, everything was right. It was like me talking in there. So, I mean, you can call him not a fan, but he knew what was going on.
Well, I mean, he knows the schedule. He knows, like, they've all been predicting, like, I mean, they were predicting double evictions for forever. And then they were like, well, maybe the eviction is Tuesday. Maybe it's Monday, because they knew that there was going to be an eviction that came sooner because they knew they needed to get more people out of the house in order to fit the schedule. Okay. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that he's able to kind of figure out what the order of competitions and when they will happen will be. But it's really like what those competitions are that I think are the more valuable information.
All right, let's I like to do segments on this show. There's really isn't enough people, or there aren't enough people in the house right now to do any of the normal segments that we do. So I've come up with this new one. It's not even really a segment, but I'm just gonna go to it.
It's
and just
a
pretend
segment.
That this is really smooth. It's smooth. Okay, it's a segment. I want to talk about the path to the finish, okay, for each of these people that are left in the game, assuming Victor goes home tonight, obviously. People say the word narrative all the time. I like to say what game script, because this is a game. What's the game script we need to get for certain people to get to the end of this game and to get to the finish line? Alex, I want to hear from you. What is the game script that needs to happen? What needs to happen at the Final Four and the Final Three in order for Corey to end up in the final two on finale night?
Oh, I mean, really, just things need to kind of continue to go their way they're going. If James wins and he's still with them, you know, if Nicole wins, get rid of Paul and get rid of James. If he can get to the final three with James and Nicole, I mean, he's sitting in real good shape. And, you know, if you're just looking to get in the final two anyways, if you're looking at who Corey beats, I think that's a bit of a different conversation. I think, you know, Corey Nicole to me is kind of close, but I think, I don't know. I think Corey might have a better chance against a Paul, but I don't think Corey would know that or consider that. You know, I think a really interesting conversation to have right now is Paul drawing dead. You know, obviously, like, there's speeches and other stuff still to come, but it's like I was looking at the votes today pretty extensively, and the best I could come up with him at, like, for in any situation right now is like 4 or 5.
Ooh, that's not good.
I don't know. Like, Corey and Nicole were both talking to each other, saying they need to make sure that Paul thinks that James is a likely winner, so that he, you know, if faced with a choice, that he won't take him. But obviously Nicole was like, you know, you're crazy. Obviously he's going to take James. He's going to cut one of us. Corey kept trying to look for a way to have all of their bases covered. Obviously there is no way to have all of your bases covered here at the Final Four. So look, as far as a path for Paul, I will say that I disagree, because I think Corey and Nicole would both vote for Paul. And also, again, especially if he's against somebody like James doesn't have any comp wins except for that one win on the endurance wall, and or whatever endurance thing he won. I forget. Was it a wall? I guess it was a wall.
Yeah. It was the one with the Frank and Dave
on
thing.
Sorry. Yeah, I got that one mixed up with the wall. Anyway, so he has one competition all season long, and he doesn't talk very good at all. I think James is Paul's best Final Two partner at this point. Paul has two chances going forward. This is his path to the end. He has to win HOH, and at that point, he could just sit back and be fine with Final Three, but he should not, because he should want to own the veto there, or, you know, on the off chance James wins the veto, he needs to break up Corey and Nicole. But having said that, I don't think anybody's taking Paul to the end. I think Paul has to win out at this point. He's got to win a comp at Final Four, and he's got to win Final Three, the Final HOH Challenge. If he doesn't win that, I think he's out, and I think that's really dire for people who want a good winner for this season, because I'm not loving our choices otherwise.
Go ahead, Alex.
Say, one thing I think is really interesting is I was just looking at the six possible Final Two situations that could exist at this point, and I feel like Nicole versus Paul is probably like kind of a walk away for Nicole at this point, but everything else is really hard to call. Like, there's not any other scenario where I'm like, okay, this is definitely like, I'm like at 6-3 or 4-5 or somewhere around there for like all the other situations, which means like if I'm perceiving a showman's wrong, then that's the, you know what I mean? So that's
really, you think
that's interesting.
Nicole versus Paul, you think is a walk away for Nicole? I have to say, I respectfully disagree with that only because I still have yet to see evidence of a woman beating a man in the final two. And until I see it happen, I'm not going to believe it can happen. I mean, I know that they are capable of it. Certainly Vanessa would have won last year. So I guess that's, you can look at that. But so much animosity is being directed at Nicole right now from so many members of the jury, most of whom are women.
Those same women hate Paul for calling Meech the C word.
I think that was overblown. Like, I think they weren't even there for that, most of them. I think that was overblown and just shown so that would put a little bit of doubt in our minds so that he's not going to win 9-0 on finale night.
Taryn, break the tie here.
Well, here's the thing about a woman beating a man. Women can certainly beat men in the final two, and many, many, many women in the final three could have beaten many, many men in the final three had they won a competition. So I think the biggest reason that we haven't seen it happen is that the woman did not win the final three competition, or was not taken, or whatever. And if we're looking at Nicole, I think that she really does have Paul in a vice grip. I think that she has Pauly and therefore probably Z as well. She was also close with Z. I think she probably has Devon, and she probably also has Natalie, who said in her exit interview that she wanted to vote for Nicole if it wasn't James. And so right there off the bat is probably four votes. And when you consider, we've got Bridget certainly might want to vote for Nicole. She's all about girl power. She wasn't the biggest fan of Paul.
They're still going to have to vote for a vet over a sweet guy like Paul, like who is very cool and very likable to many people in the house.
Look at these people. They all said that they like Pauly, Z, and
I've heard it before.
Natalie certainly, and Corey will be in the jury, so he certainly will. That's almost guaranteed four votes. All she needs is one more.
I think she has three guaranteed. I think that you're giving her Devon. I think that's a stretch.
I didn't give her Devon there. I said four with Corey, not with Devon. I think with Devon, it's five, and that's a win already.
Okay, all right.
Oh, man. Okay. So interesting.
Do you really think that Paul would take Nicole? I think he's taking James. If he has to take Nicole,
James
I think so. I kind of pointed out as like, I was going through it today and I'm like, it's Paul more than anyone left in the game, I think, has the hardest path to win. And I think it is. It's like this huge disconnect of perception between how we see Paul and how the jury sees Paul.
I don't think it's a wash that Paul has Nicole and Corey over James. I think that Nicole has a very close relationship with James, and it really wouldn't surprise me if she wanted to vote for him. And Corey obviously may follow along with that. And so when you look at that, like if Paul has lost those two votes and he doesn't have someone like obviously Natalie and Michelle won't vote for him. That's almost four votes gone. Right,
I don't
off
see
the
it.
Bat. You don't see Nicole, who is crying over James in the diary room for putting him in danger.
Okay.
Who has had a good relationship with him outside of the house.
This comes back to my, you guys don't believe me, but we talked about this during the whole Cody and Victoria thing. You're asking me to believe that after James gets up there in the final two with Paul and mumbles his way through answers, and Paul gives a distinct case about why he should win, these are the things that he won, these are the moves that he made, this is why he absolutely should win the game, that Corey and Nicole especially, is going to walk up there and put James's key in the box for the winner of Big Brother? I just don't see it. He's going to have to make an affirmative case for
money with them. Then,
yeah, right. Like, and they are not you. They see James in a different light. They see him as a really stand-up, honest guy.
I hope this happens because I would like to settle this debate because we couldn't have it during the whole Cody and Victoria and Derek thing. I would like somebody to take a complete dumbass to the final two and let them talk in the final two, mumble their way through some sort of a whatever you would call a speech, and see if the people on the jury, especially a jury of nine, this even works more to their favor. To someone who is actually articulate and can actually enunciate some coherent argument of why they won the game over some idiot like James. If they are willing to put James's key in the box, I'll forever shut up about it.
I hope Brent is right. I hope Brent is right. Go ahead, Alex.
The best part about if Paul and Nicole final two, even if it was a walk away, the thing that would make it awesome would be Michelle having to put one of those two keys in a box.
Right. That was exactly.
Like, she would think about using that key to gouge out her eyes first, and then she would like look at it again and be like, maybe it's not worth it. Like,
and there is a way that can happen. If Paul is HOH and, you know, Corey and Nicole, which is completely likely, win the veto, they're going to evict James. So Paul can only get to the end with Corey or Nicole. I think he would take Nicole if he won. And then Michelle would have to gouge her eyes out.
Oh, man, that would be great TV. Terrence.
Honestly,
great
TV. I think right now in the jury house, both Natalie and Devon are talking to Michelle when they are able to and telling her, look, you keep saying it was personal, but it was a really good move for Nicole to take you out. And look where she's sitting right now. And I think at the end of it, they probably will have Michelle voting for Nicole as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also, too, the other thing is that I think because Michelle is a super fan, or at least identifies as a super fan, I think she will want to respect the gameplay of a vet like Nicole. And I think a veteran, not Yvette from Big Brother 6. I think she's going to respect that. I really think she will, because deep down she's going to look at that and I don't think she can get, I mean, you can get over personal beef with Nicole over stupid stuff, but that Paul thing, I don't know. I think that's going to stick with her. I really do.
Yeah, and let's not forget that Paul has not been the most efficient jury management machine that we've seen.
Right.
Like, he has been pretty abrasive to a lot of people throughout his stay in the house, and a lot of people went out not liking him and even not respecting his gameplay because he seemed to have failed in a lot of instances, where Victor leaves.
This definitely is the point, an underreported story.
Right. This is the point where I think that we really need a Dr. Will / Dan-esque jury roundtable to assuage people's feelings about Paul and say, you know, even though you're a little butthurt here, you need to get over it and vote for the best player. I'm hoping that that might happen. I know how Taryn loves that jury roundtable thing.
Of course. Let's talk about somebody else in this path to the finish. I want to talk about James. I talked about how maybe, you know, he could get by throwing the competition, but you know how I'm always a fan of always be throwing, but Brent says no. So Brent, I want to hear from you. What is the path for James to get to the end and pull this thing out?
Obviously it would take a very, very special circumstance for him to be evicted. You know, first of all, Paul has to be HOH at Final Four. If Paul's not HOH, then James is safe, no matter what. There is no scenario where you can vote James out at that point, I do not believe. Because if Paul is an HOH, that means either James is HOH, which means he's safe, or Nicole is HOH, which means that the only way that James could be evicted is if somebody like Paul won the veto, and he's going to evict Corey over James. So James, the only way he can go out here is a very special circumstance. I don't think he's likely to win the competition, especially the veto at Final Four. So I do think he is likely to be at Final Three as somebody who's just sort of taken along. And at that point, I think his prospects look better. I do think that Paul would probably take him. I think that Paul and Victor are angry at Nicole and Corey, and they don't want to let Corey and Nicole, who are snakes, the snake and the snake charmer in their eyes, they don't want to let them anywhere near the money. And James has got a kid. They'd be fine, you know, going to the final two with him. And I hope they stick with that, because that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see Corey and Nicole go out third and fourth. Girl, bye.
That would be a thing of beauty.
Yep.
Taryn, how likely do you think that is to happen?
I don't think it's particularly likely, to be honest. I think that You know, Paul hasn't talked a lot about who he wants to go to the final two with, but I think once he takes Corey out, he may start to see Nicole as somebody who is more beatable than James. Just because James is, again, such a nice, likable, straightforward guy, I think Paul might see a little bit of Victor in James, and that might scare him a little bit. Nicole has been very good, whether it's intentional or not, about talking about how much all of the jury members hate her, how they're constantly calling her a snake, and how they all hate her for no reason. What did she ever do wrong? Why does everybody hate me? And that, I mean, that kind of sinks in a bit. And I really think that Paul is going to heavily consider taking her to the end if he has the option.
Alex, talk to me about Nicole. Most likely scenario that plays out in order for her to get to the end, or what if you're Nicole, what do you hope happens with these next couple of rounds coming up?
You win head of household, and then, you know, you put up James and Paul, and then, you know, evict one of them, and then the next round hope Corey takes it. And then, you know, I mean, you know, if you're and Nicole at this point, you want to do what every showman aims to do, which is get to this point and then win. You know, take turns winning, like win the rest of the way. But even if she's not able to do that, I mean, there's still the possibility that, like, obviously Corey is going. If Corey wins next week, she's good. If James wins this week, it's possible she's good. We don't know for sure that James is smart enough to recognize the value of one over two. I mean, we assume that would slapping him in the face so strongly that he'd have to wake up. But with a guy like James, man, it's we can't assume it, you know.
Tarrant, what is the, you know, you bring up the Nicole scenario of her winning this HOH and then Corey taking her to the end at Final Three. Tarrant, what do you think the chances are that Corey decides to pull a John Party or a Drew Daniel and cut his showmance at the Final Three? Because I personally think it's low. I've seen people on Twitter say that they're hoping for it and that it would be great. What do you think?
As it stands right now, I don't think it's going to happen. I think that something drastic would need to change. Like, Nicole would need to win the next two competitions, I guess, and just, like, really start to, like, turn around the perception that he has of her, because he's talked about, like, anybody would be stupid not to take Nicole to the end. And she's constantly been talking to him. And again, intentionally or not, it's been a really, really effective way of convincing him. But she's constantly talking him up, like, why would anybody not vote for you in the end? You would cream me. You're just the best. And it's consistent with everything else she's been saying about him. So he believes it. So I really think he thinks he can cream her in the end. And I think that he will take her if given the option.
Right. But I don't believe that that's intentional at all. I literally do think that if Corey and Nicole get to the end together, that Nicole's going to be like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. Like, I don't know. Like, this is just amazing. And, you know, Corey obviously was my rock, and that we did this together. Like, I can see her doing it. Like, she's going to look, this is what's going to happen. She's going to have an open door where she can win the game, but she's going to shut it and say, no, I don't want to win the game. Like, I'm happy just getting here with Corey. That it's a team win. We won. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe. I think it's difficult to see the speeches changing enough votes to flip the result, but certainly possible. The thing that makes me kind of doubt it is her confessional in the last episode where she's talking about, like, wow, like, I never actually thought I'd be this close at winning the game. And that right. tells me that she thinks she really has a chance here, which if she does plan on going to the end with Corey, maybe she really does feel like she can beat him, even though she's been telling him she doesn't think she can.
Well, I don't see a way that Nicole can be evicted at Final Four. I mean, I've looked for a path. I see no path. If somebody can go to sleep at Final Four, it's Nicole, because Corey can't be HOH. So that means he's going to be in the pool of eligible house guests to be evicted. If Corey's sitting there, obviously anybody who has a choice between the two of them is obviously going to evict Corey over Nicole. So there's that. So I don't see Nicole going anywhere. We might as well get used to the idea that Nicole is going to be there on finale night. I hope she goes out in third place. That would make me very happy. I could even, as long as Nicole and Corey go out in third and fourth place, I can handle a James win. I can. I can handle a James win. As long as Corey and Nicole, just because I would be so effing happy that Nicole and Corey ended up with no money after playing this dirty for this long. And yeah, that's my bias showing. I really don't care. You all can tweet me on Twitter. Bye.
Until
that's
James
absurd.
Sends them some money to their P.O. box.
Yeah, right? Like, that's just... But, like, at the very least, Nicole is probably playing the best game in the house. Like, even if you don't like her, like, at least there's that. Whereas James, I think, has played like an okay game for
yeah,
James,
you're right,
I guess.
I know.
But like that's the darkest timeline in my opinion.
I might have to get out the bail.
Brent, I think that actually would be great because if James wins and they go out 3-4, James can't win America's Favorite Player either. So
I'm looking
that.
At Victor for but America's then, Favorite Player. Victor has to win America's Favorite Player because James will not be evicted by finale night. So I don't think people are going to feel sorry for him. And I think people are really going to feel sorry for Victor having totally gotten boned here, as they say. And I'm hoping that James is not even in the top three. That'd be good.
and you just, you know, if James won the game, he would forever talk about how he would have won America's Favorite Player had he not been so good that he won the game.
Well, I can put up with that as long as Nicole, I don't know what it is. I'm sorry. I wonder if the chat room is with me. I wonder if people who are listening to this podcast are with me. It is true that Nicole and Corey have played a superior game to most of the people in the house. Let's just put it out there. It has not been a particularly fun game to watch. I mean, even somebody like Andy Heron, I could appreciate the rat floaterness of it, and I love to hate it. I was, he's so good, but like he's so good.
But Brent,
good.
It seems like you love to hate Nicole and Corey,
no,
too.
No, I really do just hate them.
I think postseason, the perception is going to, if Nicole wins, the perception is going to start changing. People are going to start talking about how she owned the game. She was the first woman to beat a man in the final two.
Right.
I think people are going to start to turn around on it, and I'm calling it now.
I will say, I'm looking at the chat room right now. I see a lot of 100% agree with you, Brent. 10 out of 10 agreed, Brent. We are with you, Brent. So,
I am the,
so the chat is with you, Brent.
I am the people's choice at this point. Yes, thank you.
There you go.
And I'm the seer peering into the future.
Right.
Okay. So we're on agreement here. Let's all endorse Victor for America's Favorite Player. Because I don't want to deal. I don't want any of this care package garbage again, where we split the vote and then Corey somehow ended up winning. Like,
oh, you're getting some of that, Jordan.
But Victor's got to win. He's got to win this time.
I think he's got to win. They showed that,
right?
They showed that clip of him, like with his family and everything. Like, I think he's clearly got it. I really do. I'll be shocked if he doesn't win. I really will be.
So, really? You think he'll beat James?
Let me just say this. The America's Favorite Player thingy, that's up to the producers in my eyes. And you can't tell me that Frank was America's favorite. I don't believe he was. I didn't know anybody who liked Frank that season. So
casuals.
We'll see. You knew millions
of people then.
We'll see. I could be wrong.
Okay. Brent, Jane from Survivor Nicaragua won fan favorite before. So if that is not proof,
well, who else was
you
would
like Jane,
right?
You disgusting human being.
Who else was possible even on that season?
I guess, but like from my perspective, that proved that these like favorite player things on CBS shows are not rigged because no Jane Bright. I'm sorry.
Right. Because Benry got robbed, right?
And Benry was better.
Marty was robbed.
Here's
the thing.
Dude,
about the
casuals hate guys like Marty. I know. Casuals would hate me. Casuals hated you, Jordan. You know this.
Alex, don't discriminate against everyone. Not just the casuals hated me, okay? But that's not for everyone.
Everybody comes together to hate it, Jordan.
No, but like everybody hates everyone on Big Brother. So and on Survivor too. So I mean it's just a difference of like who is beloved. And I just think I think Victor is beloved. I've never seen anyone say that they hate Victor since he came back. So
here's the thing about the conspiracies about fan favorite, whatever. Like, what is the incentive, right? We're talking, well, let's be Vanessa for a second. What is the incentive to go against what the majority of your audience wants? The entire point is to give them a voice and to give them something that will make them happy. If the majority of your audience legitimately wants James to win over Victor, why would you displease them just because you have your own, you want to give Victor like $20,000? Like what is the point of that? The people that run the show, they want to make money. They don't care about who gets America's Favorite Player. They don't care even who wins the game. They just care about what's going to make them the most money and it's going to make the show the most successful. So it really doesn't stick for me when people say that, you know, they're just going to pick whoever they want.
Agreed. They couldn't care less if Glenn won. Like if Glenn won, they'd be right. Like, awesome, Glenn won. That's great. and you know, I would campaign for Glenn, but realistically, we're not going to get the vote. Like it's not going to matter. So Victor all the way. please vote for Victor on behalf of the Happy Hour. And
I was just going to say they're far too busy doing the breaststroke and all that CBS All Access money.
Exactly.
Just a big, big pool of it.
Like, yeah, he's going to have like a bunch of
win-win. I don't care. I'm swimming in money.
Yeah, think about it. All of us that are watching BBOTT, we are basically paying. We're giving the America's Favorite Player the money. So think about it, okay? Do you want to give your OTT money to James? Because I certainly do not. I don't want my money going into James's pocket. I don't. I want it going to Victor.
It's too late at this point. James has made almost 100K of our money at this point.
Oh, my.
He's halfway to the bank already with it, Jordan.
Jeez.
He's going to be sending it off to Nicole and Corey, too. So.
Trickle-down effect.
James is like one of these
comics in action.
Yeah, he's like one of these Disney villains who has like, you know, who has no idea what's going on, yet somehow they have like all this prestige and success until, you know, I don't know, Peter
like
Pan
right,
takes them
more
down.
He's like the right hand of a Disney villain. Like, Emperor's New Groove? He's like the big stupid guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or he's like, what is it?
Shmi from Peter Pan.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the alligator always bites his butt. Yeah,
that's definitely James.
That's definitely James. Okay, let's get into your guys' questions here. If you want to send in a question again, use hashtag #RehappyHour. Tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. We already got a bunch, so I don't know if we'll be able to get to them, but if it's something amazing that has to get in, feel free, send it in, or tweet me a couple times. Maybe that'll get my attention. Although now I'm probably going to start something really bad, so maybe don't. Okay, here we go. This one is from at Adam McGinnis. Adam says, have the Sitting Ducks realized their screw up yet in not keeping Natalie? Will James work with Paul now in Final Four? So mainly the first part of that question, Alex, have they talked about regretting keeping James over Nat?
Well, I think the one that's currently no longer in the house kind of regrets it a little bit. I mean, he's already been technically evicted, but, you know, as of it, technically, in terms of when the show was taped. Anyways.
Strange way to answer that question.
Well, as of this moment in time, one of these players is no longer in the game. So obviously they messed up, and obviously they know it, and they've got all this time in the van to reflect on it. That's what I was trying to say.
The thing is that they see the mistake as staying with Nicole and Corey more than keeping James over Nicole or over Natalie. They like Victor was talking about, oh, we should have targeted them instead of Natalie and James, where they really missed, like completely missed the fact that Natalie would have been a much better person to keep there because she wouldn't have worked so readily with Nicole and Corey. And if that's the case, maybe Nicole and Corey back off and choose to evict Natalie instead of the two of them.
You know, this is what they should have done at Final Six, because I didn't see a way for them out of this at Final Six once they won head of household, but there was a way out of this. What they should have done, if they wanted to keep Natalie and not give all the power to Corey and Nicole, they just had to play the game here hard and say, because, you know, I remember Corey and Nicole talking about, you know, they won't bonus at Final Six. Like after Victor won head of household, they were like, well, if he does, he does, you know, well, nothing we can do. What Victor should have done is nominated Corey and James. He should have nominated one from each side. That way, Paul has the deciding vote at that point, because obviously James is going to vote to keep Natalie's going to vote to keep James, and Nicole is going to vote to keep Corey. Now, Corey ended up winning the veto, so obviously you replace Corey with Nicole. It would have been Nicole versus James on the block. Again, Paul has the deciding vote, and he's going to keep Natalie at that point. That would have been the only way for them to keep Natalie in the game. Having said that, the problem is that Corey was going to be in the final five no matter what, based on that veto win last week. And he was always going to win this final five veto with the slip and slide. So they were still going to find themselves on the block. Their only saving grace at this point would have been Natalie winning the veto, which, you know, her winning the comic book competition, I don't think that's very likely. Corey had like a what, 13, or Nicole had like what, 13 minutes? I mean,
Nicole creamed him.
Yeah, exactly. And she's played that competition before, so she knows what to look for. I don't think there's any way that Natalie wins that. I think they're in the same position they were. They just might have felt a little bit better about it. But that's one move they could have made.
Yeah, and I talked about this weeks ago when they made that fake fight and they successfully convinced the house that they were separated. Like, if they had kept that going, they would not be in this situation right now, right? Like, they would be able to pretend that they were split up. They could make separate deals with both Corey and Nicole, pretend that they're getting played, and Corey and Nicole would have kept them or at least been much more likely to keep them. But again, like, they just let it go, and it's unfortunate because they clearly had the ability to do it, but they just didn't stick with it.
Yeah, I mean, faking the fight, honestly, that was a move that's probably higher level than they are really, you know what I mean? They kind of stumbled into a great move there, but they didn't necessarily know what they had, and they kind of gave it away very quickly.
I mean, I'll give them here's the thing. I agree with Taryn. It would have been great if they could have done it. Having said that, you know, we don't have to, you know, it's great sitting on the outside and getting to pick at the strategy of these people. These people have to live with each other and sit in rooms for hours upon hours upon hours with people that they really don't like. So obviously they want to sit with someone that they do like. So Paul and Victor want to spend time together. They otherwise go effing crazy. Okay. So asking him to keep up a fight for 2-3 weeks, I think that's a really tough sell, Taryn. I mean, that's like you on the game board saying, well, you should have done this, when in practicality, I don't think it's possible.
People have done it before, though. Like, if the Brigade can convince everybody that they're not working together, then anyone can, right?
I mean, I'll give you credit for the Brigade analogy, but I don't think the metaphor applies here, because the Brigade to me was more like an octopus with different legs that had its arms in different, you know, side alliances. Whereas this, you're asking somebody who is definitely a final two to keep up a fight for weeks on end.
Obviously, Dan did it, but.
I'm with Brent on this one. I think you got to be an elite player to pull something like that off. And especially, you know, difference between the Brigade and this is there were other people. There was a lot of people in the house when the game first started.
Well, I'm talking down to the end. Down to the end, Lane had Brittany convinced that she was his girl.
But
like, she was his girl. He would have taken her.
That's what I'm saying. But also, I don't blame Paul and Victor, because Taryn, who of those other people in the house would you really you want to hang out with? Corey? You want to hang out with Nicole?
It's for $500,000,
yeah,
dude.
Right?
Like, come on.
You're saying you're not doing
a move that's going to win them the game? Like, come on.
I want to defer to some... Jordan has played the game. So, Jordan, tell us, like, would you really be able to fake a fight with Zach?
For this exact reason.
You haven't played the game. Jordan has. Jordan, would you be able to fake a fight with somebody like Zach for, like, 3 weeks in the Big Brother house? Like, would you be able to fake a fight?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, here's what I will say. We'll end it on this. With
Zach can't fake a fight.
Yeah, Zach wouldn't be able to fake a fight. But let's just say, you know, with someone else, like, I don't know, Kevin or something like that. Yeah, sure. I mean, I could do it probably for a couple days, maybe for a week. But at a certain point, I mean, just it depends on the kind of person you are. And for me, the kind of person that I am, I don't think, and it's probably because I'm too young and I have a lack of life experience, and I think it's probably the same for Paul and Victor. It's just too freaking hard to do that, especially when you have someone like, you know, Victor and Paul, like, they're like best friends and they had been the entire time. You can't just like end it like that and just go for whatever. And even if you do, it's not foolproof, because look at, we had Johnny Mac on the podcast with Rob and Alex a few weeks ago, and J-Mac said last year him and Becky were getting close, so people were like, oh, Becky, you and Johnny Mac are getting close, and then so they decided, okay, we better, you know, stop, you know, we better split up so people don't really get suspicious of us, and then people said, oh, Becky, Johnny Mac, why aren't you guys talking? This is, like, really weird. So I feel like it's kind of a lose-lose. They had them convinced, so, I mean, they probably could have pulled it off.
That's what you're saying, like, this was impossible to do, but they had done it.
No, what I'm saying is it's a lot easier said than done. That's what I will leave it at.
Yeah.
Everything in Big Brother is a lot easier said than done.
What I'm saying is that they had done it, and all they needed to do is continue to do it. I'm not saying it was easy, or it should have been easy. But, like, this, it's clearly valid criticism, and I think that it's something that they absolutely should have at least tried. The point is that they didn't even try. They gave it up immediately because they didn't think they needed it. We're not talking about people who are like, oh, this is too hard, we can't do it, even though we know it's good strategy. We're talking about people who said, this is pointless now. Victor came back into the house, we're all good to go.
Yeah, look, it's a legitimate criticism, and you can poke the hole if you want that it's, you know, expecting too much, but we're here to talk about ideal strategy, right? And, you know, football fans play Monday morning quarterback. We play Monday evening HOH here. That's what we do.
Yeah, and
if I was
right. Criticizing Nicole and Corey right now, you guys would not be saying any of this.
Maybe I would, but
Brent absolutely would not. And if Brent hadn't spoken up, I feel like you would not have piped up either, to be honest.
Oh, he's totally calling you a follower,
wait,
Jordan.
Fancy Fencerton.
Wait. So are you saying that I favor Brent? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that Brent opened the doors and you walked through.
Yes, checks in the mail, Jordan. Checks in the mail.
What else?
In fairness, Brent invited me into his house. He was like, hey, Jordan, you've been in this experience. What do you think? So
exactly.
I think it's fair for me to go into his house. Maybe Brent is a stranger and he offered me candy and he had bad intentions. But I don't think so. I think Brent's my friend. He invited me over. So I came into his house and I decided to hang out. Okay, let's jump to the next question. This one's from our boy, Mike Bloom, friend of the podcast. Mike says, so looking at how the lot did this time, how long do you think it will be before we see returnees again? Alex, what do you think about this?
BB20.
BB20?
That's what I think.
I agree with that. Yeah. I think 19 is going to be all newbies. And I mean, you know, you never know. They might surprise me, but I think 19 will probably be all newbies. And I think we're all hoping. I mean, I think the pressure on them would be so great. Like, it's Big Brother 20, for God's sake. Survivor, when they, their 20th season, they did Heroes versus Villains, for heaven's sake. Like, you have to do something for your 20th season. But,
yes.
You know, I'm hoping. We'll see.
I want a Heroes house with 16. I want a Villains house with 16. I want an adjoining corridor. Let's do it. I've got ideas, people.
Yes!
Employ me.
Yes.
Put me to work on this thing. I will make it awesome.
Well, wasn't that a thing? Big Brother Australia did that, right? Did you see that, Alex, when they had like the split houses kind of like for the first little bit?
I heard about it. This will be better, Jordan, with blackjack and hookers.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I guess BB20, Donald Trump could be president, so we could put a wall just like up in the house. Just put a wall in between the Heroes and the Villains. Taryn, what do you think? You agree? BB20?
Yeah. You know, I think it might depend on how Over the Top plays out, to be honest. Really? After what just went down?
I heard it depends. Like, it depends on this. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
If it does depend, I honestly think that if they see a lot of success with Over the Top, and Over the Top is all new players, I think that they definitely will go with it for 19. I think that if they feel like this was a successful season and Over the Top doesn't play out very well, then they might say maybe we need to go back to the well for BB19 and get some more returning players, because I don't know how likely All Stars is. You know, they've talked about how maybe they don't have enough players for it. So it really may not be there.
That's absolutely insane.
Insane.
Like, I had to throw 20 people off my list. Like, come on.
Yeah, Brent, it is so stupid that the you don't have enough people. Are you kidding me?
Nobody knows who Eric Stein is anyway. Slap you upside your head.
Right. It's like, just freaking do it. It's going to be a great show. Here's what I'm going to say. My prediction. Bold prediction. Here we go. BBOTT is going to suck. They're going to get scared. 19, they'll have returnees again. I'm calling
my shot. That's what I'm saying. And that's why I said it depends, because I needed to get that extra analysis in there, because I go a little more in detail than some other people on this podcast.
So what? You think it'll be a mix then?
Yeah, I think what Jordan's saying is right. I think that it could be a mix if they get scared.
It can't be great. So it's going to be like, it'll be like Audrey. It'll be like
it'll be
Willie Hance.
Yeah. It'll be Big Brother OTT 2, night season 19. Okay. And then, it'll be Audrey, Willie Hance, Chef Joe, Jose, and Glenn. It'll be good.
And they'll be like, you guys down with OTT? And we'll be like,
Yeah, no. Exactly what me and Taryn did. Like, I guess so. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, next question. This one's from Brittany. Brittany says, could this season have possibly been better if Frank, Tiffany, and Day had been able to work together? So this is an interesting question.
Well, two things. One, obviously, yes. But on the other hand, I didn't really hate Corey and Nicole way back in the day. Like, so, I mean, it's possible we might hate Frank, Day, and Tiffany if they were here right now. Or at least I might. Like, you get sick of people after a while, and I'm certainly sick of looking at Corey and Nicole's face. So, you know, it's possible I might have hated them too, but I think it would have been better.
Okay, Taryn, if you could pick...
I didn't get any of that. I was too busy laughing.
Okay. It's okay. I'm going to ask you a new question. If you could pick three people, just a group of people that did not work together this season that you would have liked to have seen work together, who would that be?
Tiffany. Who would I put Tiffany with? Tiffany, Paul, and... Maybe not. Victor gets evicted too much. I don't know. It's hard to find a third. Maybe
Devon, just Tiffany,
but I feel
Paul?
Like Devon would have screwed them up.
Okay. Alex, what do you think? If you could have anybody you could pick to work together, who would you choose?
Oh, Glenn. Glenn would have been my third.
Yeah. Glenn.
Sure.
I think for me, mine would just be Glenn. Yeah, mine would just be Glenn and Victor. And I know there was like, it actually worked. Because I think they were like, according to Glenn, they were going to Final Two together. But there was like those Bridget and Frank photoshops we had earlier in the season where Bridget was Yoda riding on Frank's back. I would love to see a Glenn photoshop as Yoda on top of Victor's back, and Victor, like, he's the stallion that carries him to the Final Two. I think that would have been great.
But somebody needs to be Ben Kenobi.
Donnie? I guess Donnie could be Ben Kenobi. You'd have to come back.
Okay. I'll go with that.
He kind of has like the same look. Alex, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I would enjoy it if the girls just didn't turn on each other right away. If they maybe tried to make that work for a couple weeks. I wanted to see how that played out, but that didn't happen.
Spy Girls would have been fun too, right?
I think Spy Girls would have been Tiffany
cool.
Tiffany and Paul, and I don't know, maybe Devon in the mix, and somebody who can, I don't know.
You got three.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Yeah, okay, there we go.
By the way, you made me think of something.
I love this cast.
Go ahead.
I think this has been established at this point.
Yeah, well,
go ahead, Brent.
Something you said made me think of something, and I don't know why it did, but I just want to say this to anybody who in the future might play Big Brother or who's watching Big Brother. Like, Victor and Paul especially, should have known that something was awry here. Not that they could have done anything about it, but they certainly could have talked to them ahead of time. When Paul goes to, when he walks upstairs and Nicole's got her headphones on and Corey is like, you know, hey, how you doing? And he's like, well, so, you know, what are we doing? And they're like, well, you know, we don't know. Like, you know, like, why, yeah. I guess, James and you. And he's like, you know, look, HOHs always have their plan. If they're telling you that they don't know their plan, you're the plan. And that's what he should have picked up at that point. Not only that fact, but Victor in the storage room, his little body bump that he always does with Corey and Nicole, it didn't look anything like last week. I mean, Corey had his eyes down. I'm sorry, it didn't. It was so half-hearted.
No, it's just really funny the body bumps.
It didn't look like anything like last week at all. Like, Corey, when he was talking with Victor, he wasn't like looking him in the eye like, yeah, man, come on, us, yeah, yeah. Like, literally, he had his eyes down the entire time. Like, I mean, you should have known from the start that they were going to stab you in the back. So anybody who plays Big Brother in the future, people aren't looking you in the eye. They aren't giving you the answer that you want to hear. Or they say they don't have a plan. That means that you're the plan and you better wise up.
Yeah, and up until right before nominations, Corey was still telling them, like, whatever, I don't really, whichever one of you wants to go up next to James, I still don't know for sure. Like, really? Right before nomination, you still don't know? Like,
yeah, nobody has no opinion at Final Five. That just doesn't compute.
No, exactly.
Especially in power. The other thing, too, it goes both ways. If you're Nicole and Corey, do a better job of selling that.
Oh, my God. That is the reason why I can't stand their game. All they needed to do was take them aside and say, you know, look, I don't want Nicole to go up as a replacement nominee. I'm going to have to put you guys up together.
Scary, Brent. It's confrontational.
I feel like Corey could have done that. I know Nicole is a scaredy cat. I feel like Corey could have been man enough to say, this is what's going to happen. You know, sorry, you guys have to sit on the block together, but this is what it is. But
that actually sounds more like a Nicole move. Corey was the one that was like, I want to blindside him. You know, Nicole is the one who's more likely to hedge her bets and be like, guys, no, we're totally not targeting you yet. But I mean,
she's not
at all.
She, but see, that's the difference, though.
We can't send them to the jury feeling bad at us.
She's not hedging. She's delaying. There's a difference. That's not hedging. That's delaying.
Alex, that impression sounded like Data from The Simpsons, like the little nerdy kid with the glasses. That's what it sounded like.
God, we did the thing with the
yeah, kind of like Professor Frank, but like not quite. I thought that was pretty good. Okay, this one comes from another friend of the show, Terrence, good pal Lita Broman. Lita says, "Hey guys, which is creepiest? A, the voiceover dream sequence. I imagine that was the one last night with
that was magnificent."
Corey. That was when Corey was like on drugs. I was like, ooh, could I get some of these? Because that could really help me get through the rest of watching this
worst
season.
episode ever.
I felt like I was on drugs, and I've never been on drugs. So that should tell you something.
That tells you that your life has been really boring.
I was like, am I the only one seeing this right now? Like, I legitimately thought I had warped into some alternate universe where the Big Brother show was like Adult Swim or something. And it was like, where am I? What am I doing? I literally tweeted, is anybody else seeing this right now? Because this is extremely strange.
Yeah, it was very weird. Okay, so that's exhibit A.
Put
of
on
the
red
things.
Veto or the blue veto. And one takes you to the real world. And the other one takes you to a fictional reality.
Oh,
which one
gosh.
Do you choose?
Okay, so again, which is the most creepy? That is A. B is the Victor-Nicole segment where Victor is like trying to flirt with Nicole. Okay. And C, she said, was this mess. And she attached a video of James asking Victor to spy on Natalie in the jury house. Did you guys happen to see this video?
Yeah. And it takes James like a full minute and a half to get this across to Victor. Because first he's like, oh, when you get to jury with Natalie, and Victor goes, oh, yeah, I'll tell her that you care about her and that like all that stuff. James is like, oh, yeah. And also, can you just make sure, like, oh, and Victor's like, oh, yeah, I'll see what she's saying about you and let you know. And he's like, yeah, but also, can you just make sure that she's not, like, being, like, promiscuous or anything? And Victor's like, I guess so. It was just like, it was such a typical James conversation. Typical Jersey James.
Brent, did you see that? Because I wanted to get your opinion on
someone
this,
forwarded but. To me. I mean, look, I whatever. I mean, it, who's she gonna be promiscuous with? I guess Pauly. I mean, that's
what he said. Because Victor was like, yeah, if she flirts with me, I'll let you know. And he's like, or Pauly's like, yeah, Pauly's the one I'm most worried about.
Well, Pauly's a big hornball, but luckily for him, Pauly has Zakiya right now keeping him happy. So, it's an unfounded, it's just, first of all, James, it doesn't matter who she's being promiscuous with. If she decides to be sexually active, which she as a beautiful young girl is totally entitled to be, you're not getting any of that anyway, so girl, bye.
And he's gonna pick Victor to like Victor was the guy she picked first. Like, hey Victor, can you go keep an eye on the situation for him? He's like, oh, I'll keep an eye on it, buddy, both eyes. Yeah,
well, yeah, that's Victor's like, oh yeah, if she hits on me, I'll let you know, but I really doubt that'll happen. And then James is like, well yeah, but also Pauly is the one I'm worried about. And it's like, what the, like, since when? Like, when has that ever been a thing?
Yeah, I'll tell you about it the next morning. Oh!
Although maybe, like, James is just, like, he's a mastermind like Derek, so he's trying to get Victor's jury vote. So by saying he's more scared of Paul stealing his girl, of Pauly stealing his girl, maybe he's doing that. I don't freaking know. It just doesn't make any sense. James.
Next question.
Yeah, James.
And here's the thing, too, right? Like, if this gets back to Pauly in the jury house, and Pauly is like, is that why you turned on me, James? Because you thought I was making the moves on your girl? Like, that's no good for James.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, if that got back to me, that somebody, it wouldn't be me. But, like, you know, if it got back to someone else, like, the end of showmance, and they were, like, saying that, yeah, I would be offended if I was that person. I'd be like, whoa, you think, like, I would do that to you, bro? Like, bruh?
You coming at my girl, bruh?
Yeah, we're bras, bruh. You serious right now? Yeah, like, come on. Okay, so what do we think? What do we think was the creepiest? We didn't even vote on that. I say probably the James thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. We're just going to say James. There we go. We're going with C. All right, next question.
Weird, but that was creepy.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that. Okay. All right, this one comes from Steve Zarosky. Steve says, I've only watched the last three seasons. Have there been any seasons of Big Brother that didn't suck? Brent?
You came in at the wrong time, Steve.
Yeah, girl, you're a little late to the party.
I saw 17. 17 was good, right?
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, it was
good. Better.
It was better. Yeah. It was better. It was better, and I liked the winner.
I think
a lot
more people like 17 now than did this time last year, I'll tell you.
That's true.
I think 18 has increased appreciation for 17.
Yeah, I think we got very lucky because for a long time in 17, we were looking at an Aus Twins Final 3, Final 4 scenario, and I don't think anybody could have handled that. So we got very, very lucky that they went out when they did. Anyway, having said that, yes, there are many seasons of Big Brother that did not suck, and frankly, that did not suck at the time that they were airing. I think that's the question that he's trying to ask. And, you know, certainly 10, 14, 13 for my money. A lot of people like the ending of 11, although I didn't really love it. And even 8 to a lesser extent. So there are plenty of seasons of Big Brother that didn't suck. Yeah, 15.
Everyone loves All Stars,
right? 15. I've come to All Stars, obviously. 15. I've come to appreciate after the fact, but at the time I couldn't really appreciate it. Although I look back on it and realize how good we had it with the feeds that were just absolutely effing glorious every week, no matter what was going on. And you look at this kind of a house where everybody's literally lying in bed in twosomes, and you're like, wow, 15 was amazing. So yeah, there are plenty of seasons that didn't suck, but the last three haven't been one of them.
Mm. But, you know, if you're not a fan of the C word, boy, 15, those feeds were not for you. That was a that was a crowd that liked to get very liberal with language.
Isn't it for them, though? Because, like, everybody got fired from that season. Isn't that, like some sick, disgusting, like...
Well,
like,
I'd rather those people go away so then we can have people, say things and not lose their jobs and then, apply for the show. Whatever.
Here's the thing, though. Like, call me crazy, but I really loved last season. And I also... obviously loved 16, and I love this season. I like it a lot. I feel like there was a moment in time.
You
where
like this season?
Terry is he's a masochist. I'm telling you, he loves the pain.
I like Big Brother, and
the
I like the way
good.
They.
Weren't twists, you know what I mean? Like, basically, it
no,
could have
been
twists
were
better.
Obviously
That's
bad, but the thing is, the twists kind of petered out and the game kind of shone through. And we've got this likable underdog in Paul, we have, yes, a hateable villain in Nicole, but who's doing fairly well. And I like the way that the season has gone. I can't see, like, obviously, there are people like Devon and Frank, but they were never going to do well in the first place, so we can't be that down that they didn't do well. And so, like, I really like the directions. I feel like we were presented with an interesting scenario at Final 6 where there's three pairs. I feel like, for the most part, even though the editing hasn't been the most honest in the world, it's presented an intriguing sort of narrative for what this season is shaping into. And I don't know. I like Big Brother, and it takes a lot for me to not like a season of Big Brother. So, yeah, I like the season. And people who are like, oh, Taryn likes the season, what a terrible person Taryn is, like, I'm sorry, I'm a podcaster about Big Brother, and I like Big Brother. Like,
no, you're
a
masochist. I said masochist. I don't know why I said that. I think I was thinking of masochism. You're a masochist for pain. You like the pain. I don't like the pain. Give me something different.
I think my biggest issue with this season is, like, let's look at it, man. Like, with the team twists, with the care packages, with the returnees, how many normal weeks of Big Brother do we have? Two? Do we even have two? I can't answer. This is an honest question. I don't know if we had two.
I think post, like, after the last care package, this end game, which is the thing I'm most high on, has been, like, regular Big Brother. And
well, Victor returned the first week, so you can't count that because it was a returnee. So it's been
but
1 week.
That was like the care, at the end of the care package,
like,
thing.
That's my biggest problem with this season. It's like, let's go ahead and, like, CBS, just make a new reality show then, if you want. Like, what I mean? Like, let's split this, because at this point, man, like, this is Big Brother Canada. Big Brother Canada always said, like, we're going to be the hybrid between the U.S. and U.K. Well, guess what, dude? The U.S. is Canada now. It's the same thing. You're both throwing stupid twists just against the wall everywhere you can. So at this point, there's no difference. You might as well just create the disconnect. If people want the fan popularity, whatever, create that show. Create a game for people that like strategy. For me, dude, it's like it's becoming too hard to draw the line.
And you know I'm totally with you. Like, nobody hates twists more than I do. So obviously, obviously I'm not a fan of the twist, but I think the difference between this and maybe something like Big Brother Canada 3 is that the twist in Big Brother Canada 3 were super impactful in, on the game and just really made it a mess. And this season, even though there were a lot of twists and they did have some impact, I feel like they were a minimum impact. And so, like, unless it's something like season 13, where it's just like, again, like a total mess, or Big Brother Canada 3, or even 4 to some extent, where it's just like totally wrecking havoc on the game, that like that's where it really starts to bother me. But like, as far as like looking at this season, I mean, like that person said, if you look back at the last like 4 or 5 seasons, they've all sort of been like this. This maybe being one of the worst examples with twists, but like this is sort of what Big Brother has become, and it's sort of become my new, you know, average for like, this is what Big Brother is. And
right.
And it's still I don't think it's the worst of the worst. I think there are still people playing, and I think the twists weren't so bad that it's like this person is definitively winning because twist X, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you. No, I mean, I'm not like thinking it's a catastrophe or anything. I just think it's kind of a shame, because I think what it could be is so great, so
yeah,
perfect.
And then
what it is decent. You know what I mean? But like, you were given this like lump of solid gold, and then you're able to produce like a tiny little golden statue. And it's like, oh, well, that's really nice. But what happened to all the other like just lump gold I gave you to work with? You know what I mean? It's just all gone. Like, where did it go? You know, like,
that's why I'm so disappointed with the OTT stuff, where it's like they have this new idea. It's like, oh, more twists, more audience votes. Like,
yeah, that's what the fans need.
No.
And it's like
they should have. They should have done what you said, which is like make a separate thing for people who like the strategy and see how that goes. Just see how it goes, because I know it's going to be great.
Yep.
And they're not doing it. And it's so frustrating.
Yep.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, because there are a lot of people that don't follow the news, they don't follow things that we follow. Big Brother OTT, supposedly the audience is going to get a vote every week on stuff. We are fearful, I don't know if it's been confirmed, that we will have a vote as far as who is going to be evicted. Do we know that for a fact, or are we just assuming that?
Just a rumor so far.
Okay, just a rumor. So, but
I mean, I did read on CBS.com that fans will vote in an unprecedented way that gives them more power than ever before.
Okay,
that is what I read from the official source.
Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that they will that fans will have a vote, like as if we're a house guest in the game and we can't be evicted. God. Okay. So that would be terrible, because people would not want to make any moves that, if you know, like a 4-3 move or a 5-3 move or something where you know you might risk a tie or something. If you don't know what the audience is going to do, you can't make that move. So it just prevents people from making moves based on an unknown quantity. And that's not a good thing. So hopefully they don't do that. I'm hoping that we can impact the game in other ways by giving people advantages or this and this and this. But who knows what they've come up with this time.
Yeah. At this point, I'm even fine with secret missions and tasks if they want to bring that in. Just keep out the, you know, like, we don't need to be voting on the strategy.
Right.
Of the game.
I don't want it to be Big Brother UK. I don't want to be voting on, because always the interesting people are going to be the ones who are evicted.
Right. Yeah, and let's be perfectly honest, like, Big Brother UK, there's a lot of aesthetic to that. Like, if you're not attractive, I don't think you're ever winning that game. I'm sorry. But like, that game has just become like something completely different from what I enjoy. I mean, that's not this.
Not to mention the fact that like, there's going to be, you just know, like, we've already seen a ton of it this season with James and Natalie, like, campaigning to America on the cameras, like, America, please, I swear I can get it to just one vote. All I need is one vote. And you know how great I am. I have a daughter and I really need the money, and please just vote for me. I've played such an honest game, and I've
okay.
played for you, America.
You.
Yeah. Like, you don't even want to listen to me do it right
know,
now. Like,
right?
God, it's going
to
be terrible.
Exactly,
much you can't
right.
even stand the parody of it. Yeah.
Right.
Get ready for
yeah.
OTT.
Right.
Who's down with it?
Yeah, the thing that I don't really get is, if you were going to do a season, let's say, yeah, okay, you want to do this very fan-intensive season, wouldn't it make sense to do the season with the fan involvement on the show where there's more people watching, and then rather, you know, instead for OTT, why don't you just do like a plain old, you know, BB10 style season? Because, you know, who knows how many people are going to be watching this? Like, the vote, like, realistically, how many people are actually going to be watching this season, and how many are actually going to go out of their way to vote on stuff? I don't know.
Right.
Like,
that's the thing.
Not many.
I don't think they know their base, Jordan. I think they think that the diehard fans are the people who vote all the time. And that's just simply not true. Like, some of us are diehard fans. I haven't voted for a thing all summer.
Me too.
I don't vote. Like,
yeah.
That's not my role in this game. I don't want to vote. I will never cast a vote. I don't give it to me. Take it back. I don't want it.
I've always wanted a neutral box answer, right? Where it's just nothing. I vote for nothing. Can that be an option?
Right. And so I think it's just right. You're just completely misjudging your fan base. I mean, it really is. It's the casual audience that votes clearly because we see the people who win these votes. And it's not anyone that my timeline is appreciative of. So, I mean, that tells me a lot, I think. And yeah, I mean, OTT, I feel like they're sowing some seeds for disaster, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, stay tuned for OTT stuff. We'll be covering it. We'll be doing it on the Happy Hour. After the long 1 week off season, we'll be back. We'll be talking all about it. I haven't 100% nailed down the schedule yet.
I am more hopeful than maybe the three of you are. I'm going to give it a chance.
I know you guys are.
I'm hoping that maybe they have. I'm hoping they're going to throw us a bone here and realize what we know to be true, which is that you can't take the fans for granted. I feel like this is what I think they're thinking. I feel like that they think that they can take people like us for granted. They feel like we're going to watch no matter what. So their job is to get other people to engage with the show. How do you get other people to engage with the show? Give them some power. Get them involved in the show. Get them tweeting about the show. Get them voting about the show. That's where I think they're coming from. They're coming from a monetary financial standpoint. And, you know, obviously we have different goals. We want a pleasing, aesthetically strategic show. They don't give a shit about that. They care about money. And so how do they get more money? They get people engaged with the show. That really sucks, but it's true.
And here, like, yeah,
2016 has just been a really depressing year.
I think they misunderstand the reason why people want to vote. I think that people want to vote to, like, the fans that want to vote, they want to vote to prove to the other people in the house, no, this person is popular, we hate you. Like, that's why people want to vote for their favorite player, so they can be like, yeah, that's right, Nicole, we hate you. We don't want to see you get anything. We want to see James get things. And I think if they focus on that, like, give them little, you know, actual care packages without any powers, right? Like, give them little perks, give them bragging rights, whatever. Like, show people, like, oh, look, this is the most popular person in the house, and look how all of the other people react to that knowledge. Like, I think that's more valuable to the fan base than giving powers. And I think that's, like, a legitimate thing rather than just, like, a niche, we like the strategy thing.
The other thing,
and punishments. I mean, if people have all this built up schadenfreude, just let them throw in some punishments. Like, oh, Nicole has to drop an anchovy every time she drinks a glass of water. There has to be an anchovy in it. Like, fine, I'm with that. Let's vote.
And
for
can
that.
You imagine, like if somebody gets a punishment, they know America hates them. If they care about America hating them, or if they don't, like, they're going to be thinking, well, maybe I need to change up my game because America hates me. Maybe I need to start playing more aggressively. Maybe I need to start being more dramatic. Maybe I'm just a wallflower.
But at
right
the
now.
Worst, it's at least what they're going to give us good feeds. Like, when people find out that America hates them, they are bitter and they're mean and they're like, they lash out at other people and they complain, and it's fabulous television. I want more
or
of
they
that,
just
please.
Go to sleep for a week because they're depressed.
Or they're Sarah and Brittany.
Oh jeez. we don't need that. Okay, let's take a couple more questions before we start winding things down. This one comes from Edward Morris, Edmo. He says, first, he's got two questions. First, he says, in case nobody asked, here's the obligatory is Taryn single question.
Go to hell, Edward.
So there you go. So Edmo wants to know, Taryn, the status is still, you're not willing
it's
to share with us.
It's always
no, he's
the
gotten
same.
Married since last week.
Always no way. The same. Congrats.
I saw Miriam in the chat room that said, your couch looks so empty and inviting. I'm like, oh, boy.
I know. I made a gesture. I don't know if anyone saw. God.
I saw a tweet earlier that somebody asked, Taryn, do you sit on the arm of that couch? Because it kind of looks like.
I thought he's usually.
Let's see. The Taryn talk.
Honestly, almost.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm very angled. It's not the most comfortable positioning.
You are,
but
you
I can't
are perched.
Put. I wish I could put the monitor in front of me because that would be much more comfortable, but it doesn't work with the setup I have.
You sit on the arm of the couch and you sit on the fence as well, so you're very good at that.
Oh, yeah, I sit on the fence. The person that was just like, oh, yeah, well, maybe we'll like OTT.
I love how
we get
so mad
at it. Depends.
Just push button.
You're just asking for it. I'm going to call you out on every single time.
I don't care, though. Oh, I'm like Rob called me Fancy Fencerton the other night in the podcast, and I was like, I will gladly own that title. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, you'd gladly own
that. Did you not listen
to
that? Did you not hear that when he called me that? That was great. Okay,
it was pretty good.
I know, right?
That was good. Okay, so part two of the question from Edmo was, top three people you'd like to see back, or that CBS will invite back. So let's just say that you would like to see back. I will throw this to Brent first. Brent, top three, baby.
Paul, Victor, Bronte. Girl, bye.
Ooh, Bronte. Okay, Alex?
I'm going to go with Mr. Jenkins, Pablo, and God, there's another non-house guest with a name, isn't there?
Glenn? I'm thinking. I don't know.
it's the
there is
the bird.
Is there a yes. bird, a squirrel? Benny the squirrel.
What's the bird? What's the bird's
Benny.
Name?
Yeah. Well, Benny's going to be back. Benny never leaves, okay. So that's a given. I like Paul.
Baldwin.
Baldwin. Thank you. Baldwin the Eagle. Yes.
Yes. Baldwin. How can we forget Baldwin? Wow.
Okay. Taryn, your top three?
My top three would be Paul.
That's it.
Yeah. That's
okay. All right. All right.
See, I think he's the only one.
Okay, I'll say Paul, Victor, and give me Bridget. I love Bridget. So
she wasn't good feeds, though. No. Okay.
Bridget was, honestly, Bridget wasn't that great on the show.
Yeah, she was
but I liked her. Love Bridget.
Okay,
I don't know what it
too.
Is,
I liked,
but I just
I liked
love
Bridget, too.
Bridget. I love yep. Bridget. Ooh, and as a bonus, Big Meech, just because Big Meech is crazy.
Yeah. I was just about to say.
I was just about to say,
how is Michelle going to feel about this Bridget love?
Yeah, yeah. No, I love Bridget. Bridget's great. But Big Meech is great, too, but I love Bridget. Okay, last question for the evening, unless somebody comes up with a great question between now and then. This one's from Puya, our boy. Puya made the song, the LFC song, if you guys remember.
Yeah,
I think that was back in August, late July. It was very good. So thank you, Puya, for that. Puya says, I feel like we need to know the LFC's breakfast game after last night's podcast with Donnie. If you didn't listen to that, Donnie was asked if he still eats Pop-Tarts every day for breakfast. So I want to ask, Booyah wants to know, what do you guys eat for breakfast? Alex, what do you eat for breakfast normally?
Oh, man. So this is actually, I've just started like a totally new diet where like I've seen a nutritionist and realized that like basically I have a ridiculous metabolism and I need to be eating like 2,500 calories a day, which is not really what I'm doing. So
like have you been eating, you've been eating less than that?
Yeah.
Okay.
2,500 is pretty.
Yeah, that's normal. Not much. That's not much, dude. That's
really?
Not much.
It's pretty normal.
Yeah, that's pretty much like, eh.
Well,
there you go.
That's
I mean, you'll be putting on weight, I think, but.
Yeah, well, no, at that point, I should be gaining weight. But yeah, I mean, yeah. So right now, my breakfast is like, I wake up and have like 2 cups of water. I have like 2 orange juices, a milk.
That'll give you calories,
a
Alex.
A cup of coffee,
cups of water.
And then like a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. That's my
Ooh,
breakfast right now.
Ooh, I could go for one of those right now. Okay.
Bacon, egg, and cheeses are good.
The water will give you the calories, Alex. Brent,
no.
what's
two
your
whole
breakfast?
Glasses.
But it does start the digestive process in the mornings.
Yes.
Well, you know, Brent sleeps until like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so like I don't really have a breakfast. But I generally, when I wake up, I eat some sort of cereal. This is the thing; you guys have to listen to me on this. I eat Honeycomb or Golden Grahams, which is fine. Okay,
Golden Grahams are so good.
Okay, you may not know this, but they started making these like tiny little marshmallows. You know that the kind that they used to like put in Swiss Miss hot chocolate. Those
yes.
little tiny ones. The ones are like the size of a chiclet, you know, like they're so small. They put them in these, they sell them in these plastic containers, like salt shakers, and you can shake them onto your cereal. That is what I do now. Like I put Honeycombs in the bowl and then I take the marshmallows and I literally like shake them into the cereal and then I have it.
Salt.
It's great.
Let me just season this a little bit.
Right? Wow. It needs a little bit, but I haven't, but like I normally eat like crap. My diet absolutely sucks. Like I have so much Coke and pizza and burgers and stuff in my diet. I have been running lately and I have got rid of some of that, not all of it. I think my physical diet, like as far as food, is the same. My liquid diet has definitely changed. I've gotten rid of most of the Cokes, although not totally. If you guys see me in New York, when you see me in New York, I will definitely have a Coke every now and then. But I'm also drinking a lot of water too. So there's that too.
There you go.
Yeah.
Water. Water's all around. Okay, Taryn, what's your breakfast? It's probably something like super bland.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Hold on. Let me guess.
Yeah, let me guess.
Dry toast.
Oatmeal.
No, I don't do oatmeal.
Damn.
Well, sometimes I have a smoothie in the morning. Sometimes I don't. depending if I have time. I was just drinking mine tonight because I didn't have time this morning. And then I really, really boring. I just have like this big thing of like chicken and broccoli and kale that I eat like throughout the entire day. And that's like everything that I eat in the day.
So you eat like a big thing of like chicken and broccoli and you just like carry this chicken and broccoli with you all day?
To work.
You
have a new... I bring it to work and then I eat it at like three different increments while I'm at work. And then I come home and I have dinner.
That is so metrosexual. I love it.
Oh wow, that's great. That's great, Taryn. Well done. Okay. And I guess I need to go. So for my breakfast, well, he said LFCs, but I'm just gonna include
myself. You're with us, yeah.
Can't leave out your breakfast.
I'm an honorary member, right? Okay, so for me, usually two eggs, it changes, but usually right now, two eggs. And then I have some Greek yogurt. That's what I eat for breakfast.
All right. Boy, pretty I missed this discussion with Donnie on the podcast last night.
Yeah, it's s'mores Pop-Tarts is what Donnie is a fan
of. I saw those. I passed.
Or it's he said the fudge-filled ones that are white.
With the
white icing and sprinkles. So I love Donnie, and I think I might need to start adopting that breakfast.
It's a national treasure.
I got some of those, but I felt like my there was just like fudge running through my veins. Like the whole day, I was just like dragging.
Did you feel the beard growing?
No, it was probably stunted. In fact, from all the lack of nutrition I was getting.
So, yeah, I hope you get a big beard. I want you to see a Paul beard on Alex. I think that would be really fun.
I think I'm going to let it go at this point.
Okay, sweet. All right.
It's past
awesome.
The itchy stage. Once it gets past that, you might as well let it do.
Then you're good to go. Okay, well, I think that's going to do it for the main stuff tonight, guys. Any major things you wanted to bring up before I start winding things down?
Nah.
Yeah, I think we're good, right? This is a good, fun time.
Yeah, the American Ninja Warrior finale was tonight. It's ended at this point. So check out the Ninja Warrior podcast. As always, just tune in for the finale. Even that one, you know, you don't really need much going into it. Just check it out. See our podcast. It's a lot of fun. Lita is really funny, and this is the only podcast she's on. So if you want to get any sort of taste of what Lita is like on a podcast, and she's fantastic, then you need to listen to our podcast. So check it out, and hopefully we'll get some athletes on there to talk about this Vegas finals as well. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Look how far you've come, Taryn. You've gone from completely ignoring Lita and mentioning your American Ninja Warrior podcast to praising her and saying she's the best. So,
well, I mean, I'm not going to say that she like tortured me until I did it, but that definitely happened.
Cool. I'm also doing my RuPaul's Drag Race recap. We had episode 3 drop today.
Woo! Let's
yes.
go!
Me, Mike Bloom, Haley Strong. Haley was filling in for Allie. We had a great time recapping the lipstick extravaganza eleganza. It was very, very fun. And you guys should check it out on our iTunes feed.
Awesome. Alex, Fear the Walking Dead?
I recorded Fear the Walking Dead this morning with Rob and Josh Wigler. It's over on postshowrecaps.com. You can watch it now. You know, the show season's been a bit hit and miss, but we've had a lot of fun with the recaps. And also, I just want to throw out there that if people don't know, Rob is going to be able to go to the Big Brother house on finale night, which is a week from Wednesday, and get live interviews with the players. So definitely want to make sure we have plenty of questions to ask, plenty of content. So Tweet us questions that you might have for any of the house guests, and we'll make sure it like gets into the mix there.
Yeah, tweet Alex at Alex Kidwell or Rob at Rob Sesternino to get those in. Alex is keeping an eye on that, so if you have any, send them to Alex. I'm just trying to think of anything else that I want to plug here quickly. Oh, one thing I want to let you guys know about is first, next week is our final Rehappy Hour of the BB18 season, which is crazy. I can't believe how fast this season has gone. I remembered Independence Day and all the other great episodes we had talking about Pauly crying and butterflies. And next week will be the last one. But we will also, the four of us, will be together once again to talk about BB18 for the final time on finale night while Rob is at the Big Brother 18 house. So that should be a lot of fun. So hopefully you guys all tune into that on Rob as a podcast. Other thing I want to let you guys know about programming-wise, I think, I have not confirmed this, but I think we're going to be doing a Survivor Millennials Gen X preseason draft at some point. I'm hoping we will. I haven't even talked to the LFCs fully about this, but I would like to do that at some point. So stay tuned for that in the, I guess, probably this weekend if we are going to make it happen, because we're not really going to have time otherwise. A couple other things. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, go to robiswebsite.com/happyhour. Never miss an episode. You get all the BBOTT episodes with the LFC and myself. Helps out the podcast. You can subscribe on YouTube as well. robiswebsite.com/YT. One other thing I want to mention. Last week, I did a little promo at the end of the show. I've been working with FanDuel.com, doing some daily fantasy football with them. Had a lot of success. Had a lot of fun doing that this past week. We're going to be doing it again this week. So if you want to sign up, play against me on FanDuel Fantasy Football, if that's something you're interested in, you can go to FanDuel.com, sign up using the promo code PARHAR, all caps, P-A-R-H-A-R. If you deposit $10, I'll do a 20-minute Skype call with you. So you can bypass the whole review thing, and we'll do a Skype call. Plus, you got a chance to win a bunch of other stuff prize-wise. So check that out if you haven't already. If you have done that and you haven't gotten in touch with me about your Skype call, if you did it last week, make sure you email me so you let me know that you did it. So email me parharjordan@gmail.com just so I know, and that we can schedule the Skype call between us. And I was going to say to leave a review for the podcast, but you know, so many people have done that already, so you don't need to. But if you want to, you can help us out. Again, robiswebsite.com/happyhour. While you're there, leave a review. Got a chance to win one of three Skype calls with me at the end of the season. This is the last week to do it. So if you want to chat with me, we can talk about whatever you want. Have lots of fun. Go on over there. Go do that if you haven't already. Okay. I think that's going to be it, guys. So thank you so much for tuning in. Oh, wait. Hashtag is what hashtag. We need, guys. Hashtag.
We had,
is what
one
we
earlier.
Need.
What was it, Alex? Did you write it down?
I had said Monday evening HOH.
I saw marshmallow salt in the chat.
I like marshmallow salt. I like that. Do we want to go with marshmallow salt?
I'm happy.
I really like that one.
Yeah. You okay. Just shake it like this.
Okay, so let's go with that. Marshmallow salt. Tweet us and let us know what you thought of this episode of the Happy Hour. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. And Taryn is at Armstrong. Taryn, you can leave some comments at robiswebsite.com as well. Love reading those and hearing what you guys have to say. So for Alex Kidwell, Brent Wagamont, and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag marshmallow salt. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. The theme song of the Reality TV Happy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.